All right, waking up in America. Wednesday, June 6th, afternoon. So I was taking on a very tough kind of conceptions, constructions, understandings, whatever, however you want to grab hold of them, and that is that evil, you don't run away from it, but you don't abide in it. And the even more difficult one, which is that evil has a right to exist. Evil has a right to exist. Like, whoa, dude, like, what the hell? How do you even, like, what the fuck? Stamp it out. Stamp it out. Like, right? Well, you can stamp out fire that's burning down your house, but you can't stamp out fire. Well, you could say, well, you know, fire burning down my house is evil. Well, no, it's just destructive. It's just destructive. So, well, evil is destructive. No, not necessarily. Evil is darkness where there really should be light. But there has to, I mean, you can't get rid of darkness, because darkness where there should be light, so to speak, is what allows things to operate, to move. It gives some latitude. It is destruction and disease and all the things that are in the natural world and seem to have more of a place, but in human hands really go out of fucking control, right? Because of the demand of mind. But nonetheless, you know, no matter how you're thinking about it, it's, you know, fire that burns down your house. You know, fire, I mean, you know, like I said, fire has the right to exist. You can say, well, it don't have the right to burn down anybody's house. Well, the thing is, it's burns shit down. It's what it does. Fire burns shit down. Fire burns shit down. So anyway, we'll have to grapple with that each in our own way, because that is a mouthful. Evil has a right to exist. People would be like, no, baby. Evil ain't got no rights. And I would say, all right then. Don't have no rights. I was walking through the park doing my Lulu walk this morning. I came across a couple I'd seen before, older, and the older man passed by me, and I just felt like, you know, it was so ironic. You know, it was like they had this exterior of, you know, just being couple of American, older, retired-looking people with, you know, just out walking their golden retrievers and, you know, just whatever. But, you know, the vibe really and truly that was really just pulsating, especially through the man, and in fact, really just through both of them in a kind of a complimentary way, was that, you know, I was, like, in the presence of demonic evil that was just... The man was wearing these sunglasses, and it was like they weren't hiding anything. In fact, it accentuated the feeling of him being like a gaping black hole. And that started me to thinking. And I was thinking about, you know, how and why and what when we're faced with it, you know, because, you know, we are often faced, you know, I'm often talking about the results of these things, and you don't always get to see the kind of people face to face that deliver that shit to your front door, let's say. It just gets delivered, and it's usually disconnected. It's usually delivered by people that are just following orders or carrying out or are sort of oblivious to, you know, they're just trying to do a job and make their living. They didn't think it up. They're not, you know, whatever. They're just trying to live. But they're the only faces that you see connected with most of these evil kinds of programs, policies, whatever you want to call them. Ethnic cleansing, you know, all these different little things that are, you know, delivering evil to your front door, to your actual life experience. The massively uncaring heart, as I wrote about today in the essay that I'll publish probably today or tomorrow, Where Are They? And I'm going to try to find some way to make some time to get the podcast out for today, which means I'm going to have to choose. So I'm not going to add any further podcasts to my queue. But I'm going to have to look at the last week and choose and then listen to a little bit of it to make sure it's not just, you know, the sound of the car going over bumps. You know, it's just, gotta check it out to make sure. And get it onto iTunes today. Yeah. And so I'll post the essay, Where Are They, on Silent Hammer Blogspot and on my own website, Jedi House. Jedi.house. I've got a Facebook account, which I connected with Jedi House, and a Twitter account, Dorsey Nabi, Jedi House. So I'll get them connected to, I'll get them all connected together, but right now I'm just making this content and easing into it. You know, because there are notions of what I wanted perhaps to be when I was like in a more curious notion, and there's more like what I'm actually doing in the process. Like, okay, this is what I'm actually gonna start doing and getting into this, like, you know, habit of posting on Wednesdays and maybe posting an essay along with it around Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, around the time period of around the time period. I'm not sure about this here. So just around the time period, I think I'm going to get out of this lane. Yeah. So yeah. That's what it, you know, because, you know, there are ideas, visions, plans, and then there's, you know, how you actually start doing something when you're really doing it, like when you're getting in that groove of doing a thing. And it's not always the same thing, you know, and you can like, trip about it to a greater or lesser extent. Oh, I was supposed to do, you know, you can get obsessive about it. No, I'm gonna make it, like, and it's like, nah, I'm gonna let it be what it seems to want to be, which right now is a road show, you know, Black Jedi, so to speak, or let's say Jedi House on the road, because Black Jedi is sort of like changed into Jedi House. It's a house, Jedi House, not Black Jedi, but Jedi House. Presents Waking Up in America. So that's what this is. I still have a Black Jedi Now account, which says serve the needy, which is second precept. So that's cool. You know, I'll probably still, you know, keep that but, you know. Yeah, I'll keep it, but, you know, it's just that, look at all those little Isuzu trucks. Boy, there are a billion of them. Oh, they're so cool. Not sure exactly what you do with them. They're just like little motorized wagons, almost. But I think they're just cool as hell. And, you know, Isuzu is no longer, you know, in business. It's a very bright day here out and about, and the chalky haze is not just emissions haze, there's a light haze that's definitely up in the upper atmosphere, which I know denotes something of our more observant methodical in my observations, I would probably know what it was signifying. You know, change of weather, dryness in the atmosphere, you know. You know, things like that. But I don't know. It does seem like it's getting very dry, and that's what's coming, but I don't know. All right, so see if there's really anything else right at this moment. Well, you know, it's a mouthful. Evil has a right to exist, blah, blah, blah. That's a mouthful. And, you know, does it really? And it's like, I don't know. Does it really? And how do you do? So, I guess the issue is, how do you develop a caring heart? But it's like, I don't think that people need to be taught to develop caring hearts. It's more like when the heart is humble in the experience of life. Some people's hearts, some people are in the disadvantage, are not born into privilege, so they have to deal with disadvantage, which is in a certain way an advantage. So they have freer access to the humble heart. And out of the humble heart comes care, caring. The humble heart has easier access to caring, but not always. A heart that is humbled by not having the advantages of, let's say, the citizens of the empire, the white people, the heart that is humbled in that respect can quite often become a poisoned heart, like full of resentment, and go crazy, because resentment drives people crazy. It gets in the heart, and it, it's a very difficult thing to deal with, because you're going to get a poisoned heart in an environment like this. The reason why it becomes care is because some people are wise. Some people have a lot of wisdom in their lineages, and their bodies just show them what to do. And some people are not so gifted. But I don't think it's ever easy in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I don't think, you know, it's definitely never easy, because the poison is going to touch you one way or the other. In some respect, the poison will touch you. and it's poison, and it will touch your heart. And even if you're gifted in, like, how to roll with caring, it's still not something to be trifled with. It's not a joke. Not a joke.
Alright.
Continuing. So I'm still out and about. It is 3:30 something or the other. I'm still out and about. 3:30 or 3:20, I cannot tell. Traffic is, you know, traffic. Overburden, funky chicken. Well, like I said, you know, other than the feeling of, oh, there's nothing I can do about these situations, you know, the quick solution to helping traffic in this city is to synchronize the lights. It really is. That's really the straightforward, you know, no-brainer, will help immediately. No, we're not helpless in the face of anything. That is the first step. Is just that right there, synchronizing the lights in this city. That would do wonders for traffic. As far as the second step, instead of some of these bullshit things they spend billions of dollars on, getting some east, some north-south thoroughfares working, even if they have to build the motherfucking thing under the city. Seriously, want to build, spend billions of dollars doing something, build a north-south thoroughfare where for through traffic in Seattle. Maybe build two of them. Put it under the ground if need be. But build it. Build it. Fuck it. Build it. Take fucking 20 years to do it. It doesn't matter. Build some north-south thoroughfares to relieve some of this traffic. And then start putting this, start knocking out that, some of these ridiculous sections that they make where they have, like, don't allow traffic to flow through because I don't even know why. They just have a do not enter sign or can't turn. It's like, fuck all that. Make the city flow. So, make, you know, knock some of that shit out so the city can be more fluid. So traffic can move with more ease. I mean, there are definitely things that can be done. No matter whether they're expensive or not, because this place wastes enough fucking money on things to, yeah, spend some money on something that would make a difference. So it was 322. So this is now 325. So, I don't know. I was down in Elliott Bay and I decided to make a little tour to do, you know, just to be out and about. And I thought, maybe I shouldn't, but I did. And now I have. And now I'm contending with traffic. Doesn't bother me all that much. Except what should bother me, bothers me, and that is the amount of time that it takes to get places, regardless of what time of day it is, just the amount of time it takes because they don't want to do things here in a way that is sensible because, you know, they like to do racist, fascist, stupid shit. And I put it like that because one just leads invariably to the other. One leads invariably to the other. It's not stupid shit for no reason. It's stupid shit because at the base of it is fascist, racist shit. And it just leads, you know, bip bop boop. Most all the ails of this country trace right back to racism. Yep, they do. Absolutely, positively. Track right back to racism. Because racism and white supremacy, as we experience it in the modern world, in the technological world, really was born here in the United States. I don't give a flying fart what anybody wants to make themselves believe about democracy and all this other crap. Horseshit. White supremacy, as it didn't exist anywhere else, and as it now exists, was born right here in this country. With a kind of slavery that never existed anywhere else. Like a complete kind of slavery where you cut the people off completely from their identity. So yes, white supremacy was born as white supremacy as it exists now in the modern world was born right here in America. Yes, I said it and it's been said. Right here. This is the mother country of white supremacy, not Nazi Germany, because that was some totally different shit. Right here. Right here. Because see, they were Germans. That was their thing, is they were Germans. And they had this other thing of being Aryan. But this is, I mean, there are people that are considered, this is about being white. And that came out of American slavery. Yes, that's exactly where it came from. This is the Ku Klux Klan kind of white supremacy. Born right here in America. It's the white supremacy that is now prevalent throughout the globe. But yes, it was born right here. So, there you have it. Alright, so yes, so most of this country's ills trace right back to its founding conceptions. Not principles, because it came up with democracy and it didn't really come up with it. That's a French and a European thing that traces back. God knows where it traces back to. You know, really, God only knows where it really traces back to. But, yep. France, French, liberty, democracy. So the fundamental concepts of, like, political concepts, I don't really have any strong political concepts other than the kind of meritocracy, democracy that you see in Star Trek The Next Generation that is hinted at as being the way in which the Federation operates. That is the society that I really consider to be, that's real society, where the people are operating for the, there's a sense of competitiveness and but it's, yep. Rabid teeth monkey. Where there's competitiveness and there's a sense of excellence and all this other stuff, but it's motivated by freedom from and freedom of and yet responsibility. Freedom from, freedom of, freedom from all types of things like starvation, hunger, ignorance and racism, and freedom of the person to find their way, and yet responsibility, right? There's responsibility. They still have responsibility to the greater good, to the Federation, you know? Yes, and it is, you know, it's fundamental principles where, you know, it's non-intervention. Non-interference. You know, it's by definition colonialist and anti-imperialist. But if you're an empire, it's not going to necessarily, you know, get up in your craw. And of course, they've got all, they're human beings, so they've got all, we're all human, so we've got all those same things that we got to contend with. But nonetheless, there is a sense in that society of freedom from and freedom of. in the sense of people really not working for money, working for the betterment of human beings. And that's a real feeling that carries through in that series. And it's just a feeling that, man alive, it's sort of gotten lost, but it was very strong in that series, and I think it just needs to be pointed to that feeling of, like, Jean-Luc Picard, and what Jean-Luc Picard and his whole crew really stood for is something that needs to be a beacon for us in terms of politics and all that. Politics and all that. It's the best way I can put it, politics and all that. That is the goal, to be like that. To have that be what your people, how your people are, what motivates your people, and what one wants to be like. That one wants to be like that. That those are the role models. Jean-Luc Picard. I need to watch that series again. Star Trek The Next Generation. I like Discovery, make no mistake. I think it's excellent. But that particular element of, you know, those people as role models for real, for us, that part, that's, you know, that's the part that can easily get lost in the sauce. Yes, those are the role models for how human beings, that's what you want your kids to want to be like, is those people. Oh, hell yes, you do. Oh, yeah. You want them to be like those people, like the leaders on the Starship Enterprise. In the Next Generation under Jean-Luc Picard, you want your young people to want to be like those people. Because that's a humanity with a future. Whereas, I don't even know what this shit is that we've got here now. I don't even know. I have no words for it, really, that I feel are really accurate. Best I can do is American society determined to go right off the fucking edge and take the whole world with it. And I mean the whole world, not just all the people, but the whole planet with it. Absolutely. Take the whole damn planet with it. So, yeah, so those are the role models. That's the kind of society that I believe in. That society right there, I really believe in it. I believe in it right down to my toes. Yes, I do. Yes. That's a model in my mind. For what we could be, if we would be, what we should be. A real model that you can go take a look at, and put on your TV and go take a look at it and watch these people, see how they operate, because yes, that's a real model for us. Yes, sir.